Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Cera Sanitaryware Limited earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Stanford. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Q2 and H1 of FY 2020 earnings conference call for Cera Sanitaryware Limited. We have with us today the management team of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, comprising Mr. Ayush Bagla, Executive Director, and Mr. Rajesh B. Shah, CFO and COO of the company. We will begin the call with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we will have the forum open for an interactive Q&A session. Before we begin, I would like to state that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer in this regard has been placed in the results documents that were shared with all of you earlier and also uploaded on the stock exchange websites. I would now hand over the floor to Mr. Ayush Bagla for his opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to join our call. The earnings for the second quarter and for the half year were adopted by the Board of Directors yesterday, that is 13th November 2019. The earnings documents have been released to the stock exchanges. I am pleased to share that we have delivered a steady performance in the first half of the fiscal in the backdrop of postponing of consumption decisions. Steps undertaken in Q2 have added 91 SKUs to product lines, has strengthened our distribution and sales network, and further solidified our product segmentation. These have served us well. In addition to this, the equal focus on inventory and receivable management has further enhanced the cash balance, thereby elevating our financial position. We believe that over 200 crores of cash in the bank in our balance sheet provides us with a significant cushion in all situations. Our robust financial position allows us to continue to reinvest into the business even during the present economic conditions. During the quarter, we added two company-owned large format stores, one in Morbi, Gujarat of 12,000 square feet and the other in Bangalore of 8,000 square feet. Coming to our numbers, revenue for the quarter stood at 327 crores versus 331 crores in Q2 of 18-19, which is down by 1.1% on a YOY basis. For Q2 FY20, 48.6% of the top line was sanitary wear, 24.4% was faucet wear, tiles was 22.8% and wellness was 4.17%. On a YOY basis, sanitary wear registered a decline of 9.3%. Faucet wear grew upwards by 5.47%. Tiles grew by 4.64% and wellness grew by 43.02%. EBITDA excluding other income for Q2 FY20 was 42 crores versus 46 crores in Q2 of FY19. The EBITDA margins for the period stood at 12.7%, lower by 110 basis points. Profit after tax for Q2 FY20 was rupees 30 crores versus rupees 28 crores in Q2 FY19, registering an increase of 6.8%. EPS on a quarterly basis was 23.1% per share versus 21.6% per share on a YOY basis. We welcome the recent corporate tax cut announcement by the government, and we believe that this initiative will play an important role in reviving the trajectory of growth in the economy. From Cera's perspective, the company is not availing any exemptions, and as a payer of tax at full corporate rate, the decision to migrate to the new tax regime is fairly straightforward. The tax rate for FY2020 now stands at 25.17% as against 36.14%. The reduced tax rate will lead to a lower tax outgo and is immediately accretive to PAT and ROE. Inventory days in Q2 FY20 were 52 days compared to 44 days in Q2 FY19. Receivable days in Q2 FY20 were 60 days versus 60 days in Q2 FY19. Payable days in Q2 were 32 days against 30 days in Q2 of FY19. Therefore, net working capital days in Q2 FY20 were 80 days versus 74 days in Q2 FY19. Amidst tight liquidity conditions in the real estate industry, the company has continued to follow prudent credit controls. Government initiatives, including the creation of a 25,000 crore fund for reviving select projects in the real estate sector, have served to improve sentiment and should begin to reflect in better economic growth in about 2 to 3 quarters' time. On the whole, we believe we are well poised with a comprehensive product offering, a wide distribution network, and high brand recall. There is momentum in our faucetware business, and we expect to benefit from the improved industry dynamics in the tile segment. Our recent advertising and marketing campaign has been well received, and in addition to our store network enhancement, which enable us to reach more customers. We are geared up for the ongoing festive season and the seasonal upticks towards the second half of the year. On that note, I would now like the moderator to open up the line for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then one. The first question is from the line of Sonali Salgaonkar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. So my questions are broadly pertaining to the industry. Firstly, how is the demand from affordable housing doing over the past quarter? And secondly, what is Cera's market share in each of the market verticals that you are in?
Affordable housing currently is the single largest segment of the industry's WIP. And Cera has been traditionally focused at the lowest and mid-income housing for the last many decades. So to give you some color and statistics to that, the current WIP of the overall industry, more than 70% is mid-income and affordable housing. And normally we talk about affordable housing below 50 lakhs in metros and below 35 lakhs in non-metros. Our sales from tier 3 towns with populations of 10 lakhs and below is 55% of our total sales. So a bulk of our sales are aligned in the same ratio as to the current WIP of the industry. Tier 3 towns and below, the impact of slowdown and reduced velocity of sales is least pronounced.
Got it. So, secondly, our market share in each of the verticals that we are in?
Market share in sanitaryware, we are the single largest market shareholder in sanitaryware with about 21-22% of the overall organized market. In faucetware, out of the total market size, we estimate that 60% is the organized market, and we have about a 6-7% market share of the organized market, but a 10% incremental market share. So industry is growing at 700 crores in the faucetware business, and last year we grew by 70 crores. This year we'll wait for the full year to make a comment on incremental market share. And in the tiles business, of course, it's a 28,000 crore domestic industry, of which our sales are less than 325 crores, so it's a negligible market share.
Got it. Then lastly, our distribution touch points that we stand with right now, and also our SKU count. That's it from my side.
Yes, one second. I'll give you all of that. our SKUs in sanitary ware, after the enhancements of Q1 and Q2, are 360. In faucet ware are 882, and in tiles are 3000.
Then our distribution?
Dealers,
retailers.
Our total dealers, including sanitary ware, faucet ware and tiles, are 3,289, an increase of 13% since March 2019. Our total retailers are 11,306. So total dealers plus retailers is 14,595.
Thank you, sir. This is helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Omkar Kulkarni, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
You said that the recent announcement by the government to create 25,000 crore fund would help in the recovery in the next 2-3 quarters. So how do you think it will materially play out? I mean, what is the management thinking about that and how it will help CERA in particular?
See, CERA, for its sanitary ware business and faucet business, gets involved in the project at the penultimate stage between 3 and 6 months before the handover of the apartment block to an end consumer. By that time, the developer has already dealt with all the issues pertaining to land, zoning, sanction, approvals, construction, financial closure. So we come in at a stage when a developer has surmounted all those obstacles. But we also find that a lot of projects are stuck at the last mile for want of 30, 50 and 100 crore rupees. And that project, WIP, is very, very large. This fund is created precisely for that purpose. So we believe that those projects which were very close to handover but did not get completed, those will suddenly find a willing backer in this particular fund. And that particular market is our addressable market. So there are a lot of projects of mid-level developers and smaller developers which are stuck, and that's where we feel our demand will come from. So 25,000 crores, I was told, will immediately impact almost 1,600 to 2,000 projects.
Okay, so that you expect the recovery to be in the next 2-3 quarters, so which means in the remaining of the year, you expect similar kind of performance which you have delivered in Q2, or like you expect the sales and EBITDA to pick up because of the festive season, you know?
See, traditionally, Q3 and Q4 have always had a larger share of revenues and consequently EBITDA and PAT. If you look at our historical performance, so
yeah,
we feel that this year should be similar. There are a lot of expectations from H2. But given the current economic conditions, till they actually take place, it may not be most prudent to talk about it.
I mean, what has been your, so far, how has been the trend?
Normally, about 40% of sales come in Q1 and Q2, and 60% in Q3 and Q4.
No, I'm talking about how has been the trend in the festive season so far. As the festive season has already passed, how has been the trend?
See, those are numbers of October and November, which we'll be able to only discuss once the Q3 numbers are formalized.
Yeah, I'm not asking you about giving specific things. How has been the trend so far?
It's been steady.
Okay. Oh, and the second thing is that you have mentioned that you have surplus cash on the books around 200 crores. And what has been the CapEx plan so far? What will be the CapEx plan? And if not significant CapEx, then how do you plan to utilize the cash?
For the year, we have a CapEx plan of 56 crores. If you want the breakup, I have a detailed breakup in front of me.
Yeah.
Sanitary ware automation is 20 crores. Faucet ware automation is 9 crores. Customer touchpoints is 6 crores. Completion of the staff colony at the plant is 17 crores. and logistics and IT is 4 crores, total of 56 crores, of which in the Q1 and Q2, we completed 19.56 crores. And I can give you a breakup of that as well. Of 19.56 crores, 4.35 was sanitary ware automation, 2.64 was faucetware automation, 4.09 was customer touch points, 5.91 was the staff colony at the plant, and 2.57 was logistics and IT. So the balance, about 37 crores will be spent in Q3 and Q4. And this number of 55 to 70 crores has been consistent for the last 4-5 years. So now that our annual cash flow has hit 140 crores annually, you'll find that this number is about 40% of our annual cash flow.
Yeah, so apart from CapEx, how do you plan to utilize it?
Currently, there are no inorganic plans. So we prefer to grow organically, and in the faucetware business, in case there is a need for additional capacity, we plan to increase our outsourcing of low-end products rather than going in for additional capex on the plant. And all the capex that has been incurred in the plant level for the last 3-4 years has been more towards the automation and reduction of the human interface in the manufacturing process rather than increasing the number of products or increasing the number of quantity of products.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Archana Gude from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. Sir, how we should read this degrowth in this antiviral segment in this quarter, and what is the outlook going forward?
That is a reflection of what is happening in the marketplace. When we speak to our sales force, they tell us that in most cases, end consumer behavior is slightly muted. But payments from the retailer to the dealer in many cases have been delayed and therefore not as consistent as past trends. So dealers are now working on a just-in-time inventory. They are not risking their own capital when the retailer is not paying them on time. So these 2-3 factors combined has been the only reason why sanitary ware top line has not grown. As far as the future is concerned, we have expectations from H2 and then, of course, from the medium term, a lot of expectations. We expect to go back to our normal growth trajectory. Mm-hmm. So, but we'll wait for those things to pan out.
Okay. So, but said that, is it safe to assume that it has nothing to do with the industry peers? So we have not lost any share to them. Is it safe to assume that?
You see, overall, if you compare Cera's products to any of the industry peers, there is a huge product and technological leadership. There is a brand leadership.
Right.
As far as statistics on market share is concerned, you know, given that there is no third-party agency monitoring this, each manufacturer is free to make deductions on their market share.
Correct.
But we currently feel that there has been no shift in market share, and our after-sales service, etc., those other factors have contributed in us retaining our market share.
Right. And so of the three main segments what we have, so which segment you feel, you know, should contribute the highest to the sales or top line going forward? Not in the value terms, but in terms of growth, percentage growth.
In percentage of growth, if you see the trends of the last 18 months, faucetware was the outstanding leader.
Right.
But we believe that faucetware, sanitaryware and wellness combined are high margin products, and they will continue to be 80% of our or 78% of our top line.
Correct.
And okay. Sanitaryware on a standalone basis will be always close to 50% of our top line.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Gautam Trivedi from Nepean Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking the call. Question I have is with respect to, I have two questions. First is with respect to increased competition. And what we've seen over the last 12 to 18 months is whether it's Kajaria, whether it is Somani Ceramics or HSIL, all of you guys are getting to each other's businesses. And in a sense, they have launched, others have launched, got into sanitaryware, others have launched faucets, others have launched, of course, got into the tile business. Has that been also impacting your top line and margins as a result?
We found that it's easy to get into lower margin businesses which are more commoditized in nature if you are a leader in high margin businesses. But it is almost impossible to do it the other way around. So tile companies wanting to enter faucets and sanitaryware have not been very successful. But sanitaryware and faucet companies wanting to enter tiles or any other of the allied businesses have been relatively more successful because there is a brand recall and history of customer promise which has been delivered through after-sales service, etc., and reliability. So some of the names you mentioned, which are predominantly tile companies, if you break up their sanitaryware numbers, they will not be very significant. But if you look at, for example, Cera, which is only a 12-year player in faucetware,
yes,
we have a 10% incremental market share.
Got it. The other question is with respect to this whole post-GST situation. A lot of these stocks, including yours, had run up in the hope, and rightly so, that post-GST, a lot of the unorganized players would either merge or come clean or basically shut down. How much of that have you actually seen, and is that how much of that is still a drag on your business, especially in the tier 3 towns where, as you said, 55% of your revenues come from there, and where in the affordable housing segment, if you're not paying GST, you're not paying taxes, including income tax, are you able to still compete with these, with your unorganized players?
The GST compliance in the sanitaryware and faucetware business, we have found that to be almost 100%, not just with us, but even other companies.
Mm-hmm.
The GST evasion would only happen in the tiles business, where
okay.
Tiles companies in the unorganized sector had a 35% advantage over organized players with GST and coal gasification.
Mm.
So both those suddenly disappeared, and after elections in April-May of 2019, GST enforcement has been particularly strict. So now, in our opinion, tiles is now also on a level playing field. Sanitaryware and faucetware was always on a level playing field.
You're saying in the sanitaryware and faucets business, there is not much of an unorganized sector as much as there is in the tiles business?
Even the unorganized sector is fully compliant, is what we see in the marketplace.
Okay. Unlike the tiles business.
Unlike the tiles business.
Got it. Great. Thank you so much.
The tiles pricing power will return once the inventory overhang, which was built before the NGT order of 5th March of this year, gets fully absorbed in the marketplace, which we feel will happen in the next 3 to 6 months.
Can I just have a follow-up question? You mentioned you opened a 12,000 square foot store in Morbi. What is the logic behind opening it in Morbi versus, let's say, a bigger town?
Because a lot of corporate customers nationwide visit Morbi to try and negotiate good tile deals.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to show them not only our tiles, but the bulk of this 12,000 square feet is dedicated towards sanitaryware and faucetware. So
I
we
see.
Want to showcase corporate customers and architects our ability to sell at Morbi. And of course, Ahmedabad, we have a very large setup. Bombay, we have a very large setup. There are a lot of importers from GCC and Far East who come to Morbi for import orders.
I see.
So we want to, they are free to choose and visit as many tiles companies in Morbi, but we want to showcase to them our sanitaryware and faucetware.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikrant Kashyap from KDI Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, good morning. I have two questions. Sir, we understand that given the economic conditions, the industry, and we are not able to grow our top line. But given the push from government and recent activity, when do we see traction coming back in our top line growth?
The overall top line, if you see, there's a difference of 3 crores, which is 1%.
Yeah.
So given whatever is happening in the outside environment, this flat performance with no changes in receivable days is also a commendable performance. But yes, you are correct. Real traction and efficacy of products are often tested with only top-line growth, and we expect that to happen both in H2 and then in the medium term. So till then, we are concentrating on all the other factors.
Mm-hmm.
So to give you an example, 91 products were added only in Q2.
Mm-hmm.
Then credit controls, you know, if you look at the commentary of Cera Sanitary, where we've been talking about it for last 6-7 quarters,
mm-hmm.
before it became a factor in the industry. Now everyone's only talking about credit controls.
Yeah.
So we've been very careful on all those fronts. Low capex, very, very strong credit controls, and keep on plugging any gaps in the portfolio.
Right, we admire that your focus on being your cost optimization, credit control had led to stable growth in EBITDA and bottom line. So do we expect from FY21 onwards, do we have come back to our previous growth levels? Do you have any visibility like that?
It's tough to say for a company the size of Cera,
mm-hmm.
where top line is 1350 crores plus GST. The top line is 1550. It's tough to give a number or any prediction going forward. We'll wait for those things to pan out. There are too many moving parts in the external environment, like credit flows, etc. So we'll wait for things to pan out.
Okay, got your point. And one last question. Do we have any plan to add new product line to our business?
See, other than sanitary ware, faucet ware, wellness, and tiles, there's no other plan to add any new businesses. We have a pilot water heaters business, which is a very tiny business where we don't sell through electrical or white goods shops. We just sell them through our sanitary ware dealers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a small pilot in Kerala on the kitchens business.
Mm-hmm.
So those are at pilot experimental stage where we don't have any manufacturing. We simply import the products from Italy and we sell them in India. We get our extended credit from our vendor and we take advance payments from our clients. So it's a negative working capital business with no capital involvement at the manufacturing level.
Yeah, got it. Thank you and wish you best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Achal Lohade from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. First, could you please help us with the outsourcing mix for each of the segments, sir?
Yes. Sanitary ware manufacturing was 46.47 and outsourcing was 53.53. Faucet ware manufacturing was 45.04 and outsourcing was 54.96. And tiles and wellness were 100% outsourcing.
Got it. And if you could also help us with the capacity utilization for sanitary ware and faucet and tiles.
Sanitary ware, our own plant had a capacity utilization of 83%.
Okay.
And our own plant in faucet ware had a capacity utilization of 77%.
And tiles through the subsidiary?
Tiles is both two are JVs and there are about 6-7 vendors.
Okay. Got it. Second was with respect to, you know, in the first quarter you had indicated a 14-15% volume growth and 14-15% kind of a margin. Range. Just thought of checking, you know, would you be revising this number?
See, at the on the back of a stellar Q4, we said that based on even a higher installed base, we can add between 150 to 200 crores of top line each year going forward. But obviously things have turned and that's not happening. So this was a wish list more than any kind of guidance. You know, I've always maintained that this company is too small to be able to issue any predictable and accurate guidance. So because of the number of moving parts, we'll wait for things to take place. And we continue to do what we do, invest in product leadership, customer touch points, continue to enhance our portfolio. So none of those activities have changed in any way.
Right. But, you know, I know you wouldn't like to give a particular guidance, but given the way 1H has panned out and what you're seeing on the ground, especially with respect to the government measures and all, is it fair to say that, you know, for the year we could be a modest positive growth in terms of revenue?
Well, that is the expectation from H2.
Okay. And what about margins? Because we've seen margins have come off fairly sharply in the quarter. Obviously, it's a function of product mix, but given the expectations what we have, is it fair to say that, you know, margins could be at best the same of last year, or it could be even lower than that?
The margins have, of course, suffered, and one of the reasons for that is tiles, instead of 19.8% of sales, is 22.4% of sales. On the product side, I'll give you some color to our product pricing. We review our pricing in sanitary ware every March and October. Instead of March, we had a price increase in May this year, which was effective 2.5% increase across all products. So the October review will now, instead of October, maybe happen in December or January. So there's no pricing pressure on the sanitary ware and faucet ware businesses. Faucet ware pricing is much more dynamic and linked to brass pricing, which is 55% of MRP in the faucet ware business.
Right. Okay. Okay. Got it. In terms of the, you know, one of the comments you made was, you know, the retailer is keeping less inventory and he's buying what is just required. Is it the case for dealer as well, you think? Have you seen a material or meaningful reduction in terms of the inventories in the channel?
The dealer is keeping less inventory. The retailer is delaying payments to the dealer. And as a result, the dealer is keeping less inventory. In any case, I'll give you our distribution format. What we have done is we have very, very large format depots which are rented by the company. These are large format warehouses, 17 across the country.
Okay.
So the dealer doesn't have to keep inventory even at his go-downs. And sometimes he can lift material from these company-owned depots twice or thrice a day and send them directly to a retailer. So in any case, for the last many years, our efforts have been to make sure that the dealer doesn't have to deploy too much capital. But the problem is not so much at the dealer end. The problem is the cash flow from the retailer to the dealer end.
Right, right, okay. Got it. And if you could give the mix in terms of the retail and institutional?
That 72 retail and 28 institutional, that number remains.
And would it be fair to say that even out of the 72%, some will go to the project through the dealers? Or
Yes, especially in smaller towns where the company may not have its own sales force. That is the case, and in fact, that is the most profitable part of the business because discounting doesn't take place. Discounting only takes place when you're talking to large developers and the company is trying to bag a large order directly. So a dealer may be willing to forego his part of his income, but the company doesn't get involved in the pricing negotiation when the sales are through a dealer.
And how much of this 72% you think could be, I know it could be a guess, but a best case with respect to institutions?
There's no way of capturing that data because our data is limited at the dealer end.
Got it. And just last question, with respect to tiles, we've seen a very, very, very sluggish growth for last few quarters now. I understand for sanitary ware given the large base, but relatively tiles is a very small business for us as well as compared to the industry. So what is happening with tiles? Are we going slow deliberately, or we've reached the mass where the incremental growth is not easy to come through? And also with respect to the value-added tiles, what has been the mix for the quarter?
See, both, if you compare on a Q-on-Q basis and H1 to H1 basis, the tiles business has grown. So we are trying to keep whatever margins there are in tiles intact. That's number one. Second, most interesting aspect is soluble salt as a percentage of total tile sales is only 20.
Okay.
So earlier, maybe 2 years ago, that number was much, much higher. And 80% is value-added products including GVT, DC, outdoor tiles, porcelain and wall. And one more initiative by the company is introduced very large format slabs, 4x4, 6x4, 8x4. The pricing of that is sometimes 3.5 times the regular 2x2 GVTs.
Okay, okay. Yeah, what would be the contribution of these large size slabs?
These have just been launched about a month ago.
Got it.
And the size of that market is very, very niche. Very niche.
Understood. Great. I'll come back for any further questions, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. For any further questions, you may come back for a follow-up. The next question is from the line of Hiral Desai from Anived PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi Ayush, good morning and thanks for taking my question. So Ayush, when we interact with the large mortgage financiers who operate across the country, one thing is very apparent that the real estate slowdown is far more pronounced in the large cities. And I think you alluded to that earlier in the call where you said, tier 3 is almost 55% of your revenues. So would it be possible to give us the split between, let's say, large cities, tier 2 and tier 3, the entire breakup? And how has that grown in FY19 and first half of FY20? So I'm just trying to understand if the tier 2, tier 3 pieces are growing much faster than the overall company average and the large cities are actually pulling the average down. Meaningfully.
In terms of percentage of growth and volume, yes, you're completely correct that the tier 3 market growth is much larger than tier 1 and tier 2. So,
and that would be purely because of distribution or just the fact that the underlying momentum there is much better as compared to the larger cities?
The bulk of these apartment projects in tier 3 towns are G+4, G+7, which are getting completed in less than 12 months with the approval process of less than 3 to 6 months. So the project life cycle is so small, they are not looking for large NBFC funding. They are still end consumer funded. So we find that the whole project cycle is very straightforward and very simple. They are also willing to buy high-end products because they are not having to spend so much on land and approvals.
Right.
So
that was the other question that I had. Would the realizations be very different in, let's say, tier 3 versus the large cities? I mean, what would be the magnitude of differential?
See, I'll give you one more number.
Yeah.
I was just given this number by one economist in one of the private sector banks. He said total credit to SME and MSME between September 17 to March 18 was 7.6 lakh crore.
Okay.
And the same corresponding number from September 18 to March 19 was 1.5 lakh crore.
Okay. Okay.
So now the magnitude of the problem or crunch is visible just with that number.
No, I was trying to understand more in terms of your realization in tier 3. So let's say for sanitary ware, for example, like what would be the average realization in tier 3 versus, let's say, large cities?
See, that, of course, number of pieces divided by the revenues of tier 3, that's not an accurate representation because there's so many SKUs, there's so much interplay between SKUs and between regions, there's such a difference. For example, in the Mumbai market, only wall-hung WCs are sold because of lack of space.
Right.
In the southern Indian market, the floor standing WCs are sold because the size of the toilets are much larger. It's, then, you know, there's a interplay between one piece, two piece. There's just too many permutations possible to sit and, you know, derive something meaningful from that data.
And lastly, let's say in a city like Bombay, how many dealers and retailers would we have?
See, within Bombay, we would have something
like, you know, what is the coverage?
We would have between 5 to 7 dealers and each would have between 10 to 50 retailers in a city like Bombay. But once you move to Dombivli, Thane, Mira Road, then the situation completely changes for a company like Cera. Because our market share in Thane, Dombivli, Mira Road would be 7-8 times our market share in Mumbai.
And why would that be the case?
Because of the acceptance of our products in mid-income housing.
Okay, okay. Got it, got it. Perfect. Thanks a ton for answering the question.
Yeah.
All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aksh Vora from Praj Financial. Please go ahead.
So just wanted to understand your analogy on growth for medium to longer term perspective, say 3 to 4 years or 4 to 5 years.
It's difficult to give a number. You know, in the past we have grown 12 to 15% on top line and 17% plus on EBITDA and PAT level. That was on a smaller base, on a higher base. If you put an absolute number, anything above 100 crores top line addition and about 15 crores of EBITDA addition would be a great number to have. But at this point, we'll just be careful in making any kind of prediction on that about the future.
And I'm not asking for any prediction. Just wanted to understand if what the growth you have seen in last 3 to 4 years, is that the new normal the company would be looking to grow in next couple of years, or it's just another short-term phenomena we are seeking that might end probably say six to 12 months, or and we might see a bigger growth and past growth coming back kind of numbers?
I think last 6 years our top line growth CAGR was 15 and bottom line was 17%.
Yeah, I'm saying about last three, four years. I'm just saying because I understand the market for
15 on top line and 15 to 17 on bottom line. Going forward, I'll tell you what's going to be most important is having a very comprehensive product portfolio. And investing in the brand, investing in after-sale service, and investing in customer touch points. So now I'll give you further details on that. So far, the company had 3 tiers of customer touch points. The first was company-owned, company-managed large format. So we had 9 of those across the country. Now we have 10 across the country, 7,000 to 14,000 square feet, which are experience centers, company-owned, company-managed, where developers, architects and consumers come and compare products, and then of course they are put on to a dealer in their respective geographies. Below that, the next tier was 140 dealer-owned customer experience centers which were completely sales-oriented. These were average of 1,000 square feet, largest one being 7,000 square feet. Then the third tier was 2,700 of retailer-owned display centers. So all these three are increasing, and now we've also added a hybrid model where the company is going to pay for certain fit-outs for dealers who are growing at an exponential level. So we are now trying to align the design of a dealer's showroom with the company-owned, company-managed designs. So certain fit-outs, placement of products, positioning, using big data to identify which products should be displayed. Though that's the hybrid model which has been introduced this year. So we believe that these are the most important aspects for a company to be able to encash or monetize the future growth that is happening, whether it's going to happen 3 months, 4 months or 6 months from now. And yes, of course, we would like to return to our original top line growth of 15% and bottom line growth of 17%.
Okay, thanks. That's really appreciable. Also, just on the hybrid model you mentioned, that we would be implying it in only in specific geographical areas or wherever the data keys, like the big growth is coming, we'll be implying it. Like, we'll be restricting it to tier 1 or in tier 3 also we will be going for that.
We are currently starting from 2-3 states, but it will be largely data-driven. Those geographies which are suddenly very promising and those dealers which have performed well and one push on the display side can dramatically change the numbers. So those will be identified and have been identified and this program is going to be rolled out.
Okay. And also we'll be channel financing the entire inventory or anything specific of those dealers or it's just partly, can you just elaborate how would be the tie-up with the dealers? And
currently we have two sources of channel financing, one private sector and one public sector bank, which takes data from us, performance of the dealer, takes collateral from the dealer, and then provides a high percentage of the invoice value that the company has built the dealer. So current limits on combined of those two lenders is about 150 crores. Current usage of that is around 50 crores.
And sir, another part, aspect on sanitaryware business, are we seeing the market being saturated or being for us being saturated to not to grow above high probably in double digits or maintain the same growth in low single digits or it's just a demand perspective that has been not been in our favor and it might turn out soon that the demand will come back soon so the numbers might change.
We found in Q1 we found that the consumers had been postponing their decisions because of floods and elections etc. We also had after Q1 a superb July, but in August again given the floods in Kerala and NCR etc. we didn't have such a great August. So we believe that given these one-off impacts Q1 and Q2 have been flat, but without that we feel that the markets will come back, credit flow will improve, and consumer sentiment and even within the retailer and dealer dynamics, cash flow will improve. So given these factors, it's a matter of time when the tide turns.
All the best. Thanks for your answer.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Poddar from Nippon India. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi. Can you highlight how much was the price increase that you taken? Was there any price increase taken, let's say, now in October?
Yeah, we normally review our pricing strategies every March. So this March 19th pricing increase was implemented in May of 2.5% across sanitary ware products.
And have you taken any further price increase?
No, so because it was May, the October review will probably happen in December, January.
Okay, and what according to you is now, let's say, the industry run rate, let's say, in the first half in sanitary?
Sorry, the industry?
Growth rate, let's say, growth or decline in the first half?
We don't have any, authentic data and we've not even made our own calculations on that front. So we normally get to know at the end of the year about the behavior of industry size, growth and other demographics.
But would you all have maintained share or would you all have lost share? Because if I look at it, your volume decline is about 12% then. And despite you all doing new products, distribution expansion, has the industry declined there in 15 or 20% kind of a number?
See, again, this is a company which has been very, very financially conservative. So there are a lot of new entrants always trying to push sales and selling to projects on extended credit. So they might report short-term numbers, but in the long term, it all evens out. So you'll have to take those factors into consideration. But at the same time, then I won't be able to give you an authentic number of industry growth.
Okay, and what is our let's say go-to-market model for this kitchenware segment, and what is the let's say are we making material revenues right now?
See, kitchen, the only investment we have made so far is allocated some space in our Cochin Experience Center to put up certain available formats for the kitchen. We have a vendor based in Italy who has given us extended credit for kitchens that are customized at the consumer end, measurements sent to Italy, and then a kitchen arrives in modular form to India. We install it and we get paid, of course, in advance. So it's a negative working capital business, no manufacturing investment, no current advertising investment other than, you know, participation in trade exhibitions, etc. So meaningful revenues will start maybe in a year, and then we'll be best positioned to take a call on how to continue that business further.
And how much would be, let's say, whenever, what are the margins one clock, and how is generally the ramp up, let's say 50 crore, 100 crore sales, what are the margins does the company clock?
We have started this made in Italy kitchens at the bottom of the pyramid, at starting from less than 2.5 lakhs for a completed kitchen, without of course the white goods, which are again third party sourced, right up to 25-30 lakhs. And at that end, of course, at the top end, it's a very crowded market. At the bottom end, you'll find a lot of unorganized players, etc. But a made in Italy kitchen at that price is not available. So that is the reason we got into the business. But to give you any kind of numbers going forward, it's tough to say. It's purely a pilot at this stage.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kunal Shah from Carnelian. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Mr. Shah, may we request you to use your handset, please? We can't hear you that well.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Just wanted to understand the margin trajectory for the company, considering 3-4 factors. One is obviously the competition that is coming up. Second is there, how should one look at margin when considers manufacturing and outsourcing? And also the margin trajectory, considering the three different divisions that we are in. That is the first question. And second question is obviously about the kitchenware segment and the water heater segment, how big they are, and what is the thought process behind entering into it, and how should one look at it?
The outsourced business, you know, if you look at those companies who have been successful in this industry, you will find all of them follow a hybrid model. So no company has been successful either fully outsourcing or fully making in-house. Now, the way our sanitaryware and faucetware business work is each year we identify a list of products which are technologically easy to make and can be outsourced. And those products which are technologically difficult to make with difficult design are made in our own factories. So the cost of outsourcing, of course, there is a saving on costs. But at the same time, there is a limitation of those vendors and their technological capabilities. Even though we have our QC teams available at those vendor sites, whether it's Italy, Turkey, China, or India. So we have large QC teams on site in each of those locations. We have IP contracts with these vendors that our designs are exclusive only to us. So that's as far as protection with the vendors are concerned. But each year the list that is outsourced changes a lot. And yes, there is a saving if we choose to go to a vendor for a low cost or low value item versus making it ourselves in our own factory.
The margin, how should one look at the margin trajectory going ahead with increased competition as well?
Between 14 to 15% has been the EBITDA margin consistently.
So we would be able to sustain that going ahead as well. Is it fair to understand
that? That is the aim. Yes, that is the aim.
Okay. And the thought process behind entering the water heater segment and the kitchenware segment, sir, if you could throw some light and how serious is that an opportunity, or how serious are we considering those two segments, or they are at the pilot stage now?
The water heater segment was a demand by our dealers and retailers who had to turn away customers to other brands when customers were asking for an integrated Cera bathroom. That's the reason we chose a vendor where, again, we would not have to put up any manufacturing capacity. We would buy heaters from a vendor and display them only at our retailers and dealers' end.
Okay.
And there would be no advertising other than point-of-sale advertising. So that's what we have done over the last 6-8 months. Again, as and when there are some meaningful numbers in that business, we'll be able to take a call whether to continue and how, in what form should the business continue. And that's the same model that was fully replicated in the kitchen business.
Okay. 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 Fair enough, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hrishikesh Bhagat from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, just wanted to understand, this slowdown is largely because we are also conservative in pushing the product in light of this weakness in the credit liquidity, or is it a general industry slowdown also?
We have always been very well poised to take advantage of all market opportunities. For example, water-saving products. Now, water-saving products is not even a niche or a segment in the sanitaryware business. So we created that niche a few years ago, reducing a 8-liter flush to 3.2 liters and a half flush of 4 liters to 2.2 liters. Now, a lot of our products have applied for European CE certification. A lot of these water-saving products have got 2- and 3-star European CE water-saving certification. And that is one of the ways to market these products in India, where large townships have 10,000 people and therefore ability to save 3-4 lakh liters of water per day. So as far as taking advantage of opportunities that are currently present or may present themselves in the future, we have always done that. And conservatism only restricts itself to balance sheet conservatism. There is absolutely no conservatism in product or marketplace behavior.
Sure. And secondly, will it be possible for you to share the contribution of various brands, say Senator, Cera, and Isvia?
Senator, Isvia, and Jeet combined are less than 50 crores annually.
Okay. Okay. And last question is, how is working capital in tile segment different than your, say, sanitaryware or faucet?
The receivable days profile in tiles is completely different than sanitaryware. And so if you remove the receivable days of tiles, then we further reduce by 16 days.
Okay.
On our receivable days. Okay. If you reduce the tiles business from the overall receivables, we further reduce by 16 days.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Sehgal from Manas Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. On the sanitaryware business, you know, in the first quarter, your revenue was down 12.7%, and in the second quarter, it is down 9%. And you said, you know, it is difficult to gauge at what rate the industry is growing. And then earlier, you also mentioned about competition from some of the tile makers, and you mentioned that it is difficult for them to, you know, make inroads. But, you know, we also have competition from Jaguar, which is a large player in the faucet industry, who we have heard has made significant progress in the sanitaryware business. So how do you see competition from them and their ability to, you know, become a meaningful player in that segment?
We won't be able to make any kind of comment about specific companies, but all the top four companies in sanitaryware and faucetware are making a lot of efforts in improving their product portfolio distribution, and we accept that that is a healthy competition which keeps everybody on their toes, and we are doing the same thing. So it is impossible for a tiles company to move upwards to faucetware and sanitaryware, but possible for sanitaryware and tiles companies, sanitaryware and faucetware companies to move within each other segment and also downwards to tiles. So that is what you find, that natural behavior of all the companies. And yes, a lot of companies have done well, but you should also look at their positive cash flow. So a lot of companies that you are speaking about have good cash flow, but their capex needs are equal to their annual cash flow.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sonia Lalwani from Punartha Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, I have two questions. One would be, could you just give us a breakup of the expenses into fixed and variable? I mean, what percentage would be fixed and what percentage would be variable? And how has that changed from FY19?
You see, then I mean, this is a very large matrix, but I can give you some color on a raw material behavior and some of those aspects. For example, in the sanitary ware business, raw material constitutes 17% of total cost of production.
All right.
In the faucetware business, raw materials constitute 54% of total cost of production.
Labor. If I want to ask, I mean, in the OPEX segment,
then labor constitutes about 14.9% of total cost of production in the combined sanitary ware and faucetware business. Freight is about, logistics and freight is about 7%.
Okay.
And the gas costs are about 2%.
Alright. And the second question would be, on the geographical front, could you give us the breakup between east, west, north and south, and how these regions are panning out since last 18 months, if that would be possible to give?
I'll give you some more color, more than just geographical breakup.
Okay.
Our top 100 dealers account for 37% of sales.
All right.
Our top 500 dealers account for 67% of sales.
All right.
And we have added 22% of new dealers in 5 years.
Sorry, sir, 22% in
5 years. We have added 34% new retailers in 5 years.
Okay.
And sales from these new dealers added in 5 years is 10% of top line. And now coming to geographical breakup, north is 25%, east is 9, west is 22, and south is 44.
And so has that, has this proportion changed from FY19 or FY18?
This is the number of FY19 that I've just given you.
And in the quarter, in the upcoming quarters, do you feel this proportion changing? I mean, this thing changing?
No, I mean, we'll give you again the same breakup at the end of FY20. We expect the numbers to be similar.
And so which region would be growing fast as per, I mean, what you are seeing in the market, what you are seeing on the ground?
The South is a buyer of high margin products, so that's why we have always concentrated there. And we found a lot of success there.
Okay. So also on the revenue front, should we expect a flat growth? I mean a flat revenue on a YOY basis in the second half as well?
We have a lot of expectations from H2. We expect a lot of our activities undertaken over the last 1 year, 1.5 years to bear out in H2 with a little aid of the market, of course. So we are expecting some growth, but we'll wait for that to take place.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you for joining our call. We are well poised for an expected recovery in the second half of the fiscal. The ongoing festive season has been encouraging as well. For any further interaction, please feel free to reach out to us or to CDR India. We look forward to interacting again next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.